Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the news. And this week, we are the four musketeers of Hutton Orbital News. I'm not saying which one's which. You can work that one out for yourselves. This week, due to galactic events, we're standing on, in news terms, fertile ground.
Is that because we're full of...
Oh, oi! Wash your mouth out with soap.
Sorry, Norma.
You'd never hear me saying words like that. Often. Okay, maybe I do, but not on air. On air, I'm seamless.
Just like that lazy lockdown onesie. I'm still wondering how you actually get into that thing. I do like the little ears, though. Anyway, it's time for the news headlines. Fleet intelligence from Big Rat.
Carry on, carriers. Carrying on.
Meat eaters don't all like it, but a veggie might.
Well-known Hutton personality fined for dropping them in Hutton space.
Steward's inquiry into the runs.
Atrus 5060 sends one of his postcards from over the edge.
Something at Hutton is really, really high.
Lockdown diet leads to uncontrolled expansion. Commander Silwyn Stardust can claim the title of first commander to be rescued by the Fuelrats' new fleet carrier, the Rat's Nest. After initially making a request some months earlier, the poor commander was stranded in an area of space known as the Anaconda Graveyard. So-called because it requires a neutron boost to enter, but once you arrive, there are no neutron stars to facilitate a return. The request at the time can be paraphrased as, "I'm stuck, can you help?" And the reply as, "Sorry mate, not without a fleet carrier." Since that time, Commander Stardust has been happily mapping away, covering every square inch of every body, leaving no similarly shaped rock unturned, in an effort to keep sane, though luckily also spending time keeping up with the galactic news. This should not be confused with keeping up with Golnet news, which really doesn't take very long. And so was aware of the Fuel Rats' intention to equip their fleet with their big tanker. We're not saying that Commander Silwyn Stardust was desperate to rejoin the rest of the galaxy, but Mama Rat was in the process of picking up the keys for their carrier from the dealer and negotiating about a full tank of tritium and the first month's maintenance cost. When her phone rang, and Commander Stardust piped up with a cheery, "Only me." Always eager to please, the Fuel Rats decided that this would be an ideal shakedown mission. After all, they always went well for the USS Enterprise, and indeed such was the case, only losing one rat during the 2-hour six-jump trip out to the graveyard. For the return trip, the carrier, the Rat's Nest, did another first, carrying the stranded ship out in one of its large bays, and then watched it take off as they reached the edge of the bubble, as the commander headed back to their base at Vega. The Fuel Rats have learned several valuable lessons here. One, that they can now attempt to rescue missions that are further away than ever before. Two, that ships can be rescued from situations hitherto impossible. And three, anyone hitching a lift on the carrier really, really needs to pay attention to the countdown to avoid being left behind as it departs the system.
Exciting news from Hutton Orbital's admin office this week, as with the Brewer Corporation releasing the variations on the Drake-class fleet carrier, Alvin Deaver issued an edict that he wanted to hitch a lift on the new Hutton Hot Bus all the way to Colonia. The FTM Cloud Atlas has been temporarily designated as Hutton's flagship. Yes, we do have a flag, whilst he's aboard, and he is bringing a few other truckers with him for company. Commander Hutton Truckers, who changed his name by deed poll as he was appointed membership manager, will be taking the trip to Colonia to rendezvous with the Hutton event carrier, the FTM Ruby Ruby Ruby, under the command of Graham Snuggles McKeague. The Cloud Atlas will then refuel, rescue Cecil, and make the return trip to Hutton Orbital in what we hope is the first of many Hutton to Fort Mug trips over the coming months. Progenitor Lael Wolf was originally intending to join them, but has been refused permission by the Pilots Federation, as they put it, influence around the bubble's already a mess without you jumping ship and going on holiday. Her orange eyebrows are now stuck in a permanent frown, but she's asked that we bring Cecil back in one piece so she can give him one. A piece. Of her mind, that is. Alongside these two behemoths in the FTM fleet, Hutton are loaning a pair of vessels to the DSSA Deep Space Support Array with a Christios refuge already fully refueled and heading out into the black. Hutton Space is being serviced by former Hotbox Hotboss Rampage 737 and the FTM Alvin's Paw, based in Alpha Centauri and providing an occasional large landing pad for commanders foolish enough to fall for the joke, or coming in for a large load of rares all on their own. An order has been placed for an awful lot of limpets, just in case anyone forgets. The Paw will be engaging in near-Hutton activity on an as-needed basis, usually when Rampage wants a walkies. Never one to turn away anyone in need, Admiral Aiden has commissioned his own medical carrier, the FTM Alvin's Mercy, and is proceeding to load it up with bandages, soothing creams and lotions, hangover cures, and of course everything that Nurse Wyeth needs to cure the lurgy should any systems be struck down with outbreak. Any commanders in the vicinity of Snyder in TZ Arietis, please assist in loading it up with every cure imaginable. Whilst not an exhaustive list of the fleet carriers that have been pressed into service with Hutton, these are the officially approved and Alvin-prepared carriers that come with a deck just for walkies and comfy cushions at floor level in all important rooms. Funnily enough, the snack cupboard has been placed at nose height as well, just in case his nibs gets the nibbles. Anyone wanting to head to Colonia, final boarding has now been called on the Cloud Atlas. Make your way to Hutton Orbital and get strapped in as it's heading that-a-way very soon.
On the subject of carriers, the Brewer Corporation have finalised the details of their orbital licence with the Pilots Federation, Universal Cartographics and local governments. After a last-ditch attempt by many systems to declare a NIMBY counter-proposal that would leave carriers unable to visit many systems, boffins at Universal Cartographics, assisted by Canon Interstellar, have come to an amicable agreement. All carriers will be permanently banned from permit-locked systems, as there are rumours that shady characters, including the dastardly Don Antonacci himself, were planning on sneaking around security protocols aboard carriers and circumventing the rules thoroughly. How awfully like him, that is. That just left a number of binary planet orbits where Planet A, let's call it Planet Lilliput, violently objected to any nasty-looking fleet carriers owned by Planet B. Let's call that planet Blefescu, blocking their view of the stars as they passed each other. With a standard orbit bubble for a fleet carrier being set at 500 kilometers from any exclusion zone, the big Endians of Lilliput were concerned that the exclusion zones overlapped occasionally and the little Endians of Blefescu might be able to see them sunbathing naked in their backyards from their orbital carriers. The solution was clever application of a Barry Center orbital path. The carriers now orbit at a much wider distance around the pair of them, and individual planets be damned. The ships will just orbit the pair of them and not care one jot. While testing, a number of pilots reported that they'd managed to get their fleet carrier stuck in the wibbly wavy arms of the nearest neutron star or the uber gigawatt glare of a white dwarf, and whilst the unobtainium and hulls of their carriers were fine, anyone taking off would very rapidly discover that their ships were not similarly protected. The Brewer Corporation and associated engineering firms behind nav beacons and those cute little signs outside stations that advertise the nearest McThargoids are steadfastly refusing to reveal the recipe behind their unobtainium plating. The rotters. Which means that Universal Carto had to come up with a new shape. Not a sphere, but a giant space cylinder. Now, we didn't think that was funny enough, so we're calling it a sausage. A ship-saving safety sausage around the wibbly-wobbly arms of dangerous-looking stars. Of course, there's no news yet on what shape the exclusion zone will be around a black hole, but we're going with something complicated and decidedly five-dimensional and mind-bending. In associated news about dark matter, there has been an outcry, as the Brewer Corporation have released a warning that galactic supplies of their Brewer brand yeast extract are running low. With all of their resources being moved to carrier production, the business arm that funded their domination of the Love Them or Hate Them carriers, the Brewer Corporation Brewhouse, have reported that no one has been bothering to buy beer, and as a result, the yeasty and sticky goodness that other retailers put in black and yellow jars is running low. They've restricted the available size to a little pot for your pocket, and not the one-ton canister that most people buy with their weekly shop and put on everything from a hot bit of crumpet to their savoury ice cream yeasty sundaes. Hutton have responded by ensuring that every brewer-launched carrier comes complete with microbrewery and onboard bar, ensuring that the black brewing byproduct will be available to all and sundry.
We all know that loitering is a crime, but then again, so is littering. There is literally no latitude on litter. Launches leaving litter lead to loaded losses. Hutton's Forsenic accountants, keen to complete the ledgers for Operation Hot Mess, have discovered a mild-mannered miscreant in our midst. There is a villain who ran up more fines than everyone else put together, whose carelessness with their precious cargo of mugs led to unlimited overtime on the part of the Hutton cleanup squads, and led to pirates swarming around the orbital like flies around Moof on a hot day. The name of this naughtiest commander in Hutton space? None other than, I'm harmless, honestly, Flossie. In her nom de jour, Poppy. Flossie claims that just because she bought more mugs than everyone else and spent many hours giving them away for free to anyone who asked for them, that this should excuse her littering Hutton space with tons of mugs just because she didn't want to play with the pirates outside the no-fire zone. The Hutton authorities disagree, as they are still picking broken bits of pottery out of the superstructure, and so Flossie is currently being incarcerated at his fluffiness's pleasure in a maximum security detention center. A defense fund has been set up by Flossie's cadre of followers, the so-called Dark Hamster Wheel, and contributions may be left in plain brown envelopes behind the pipes in Cubicle 3.
Mankind's history is one of perpetual struggle, from crawling from the primordial ocean, then having to search for a decent hairdryer, all the way to finding just the right shade of puce for your fleet carrier. But none epitomises the sense of endorphin-releasing triumph like breaking the record for the Hutton Run. Indeed, this is, and little else, is what's been keeping Commander Brett Ribbon... keeping Commander Brett Ridderboat's spirits up as he has been stuck in a Groundhog Day of existence where every day is Friday. Commander Ridderboat's record has been unassailable for nigh on half a year, or more than two lockdowns as we know it, until they come along. You know, them. The huge monsters that travel the galaxy, making a sound like a million hippos farting underwater, and spark the great tritium tritium debate. Yes, fleet carriers. Some enterprising commanders have discovered that if they hitch a lift on a fleet carrier that's on its way to Eden at just the right time, that they can appear near Hutton in just a few minutes. Now that's all well and good, but is it actually making the Hutton run? If you start a marathon, pick up your first water bottle, then get a friend to give you a lift to the finish line, have you actually completed the race? Will people feel obliged to still give you the sponsorship money for special effects and hearing dogs for the deaf? The legitimacy of the news claims has to be established, and Stewart's inquiry will be convened just as soon as we can pry them from the Hutton bar, because yes, they are bar stewards, and we're not afraid to be seen with an old joke, and neither is my husband, or so he tells me.
Good evening, trackers. Atrus 5060 reporting in with something completely different. With no signs of the Thargoids, dastardly rotters, I decided to go out to Colonia to help Eds 38 get their biscuit tin back. I loaded up my new crate Phantom for the mission with the hopes of using the Neutron Highway to get there quickly. Taking off from Lave Station, it's lovely there, I travelled about 2,000 light years out before recalling that I'd not checked the damage on my FSD after so many neutron jumps. I decided to pull out a super cruise to repair, only to discover that I'd forgotten an AFMU, or is that an AFMU, to repair the FSD. A quick look up on the galaxy map showed that there was a station at the edge of the bubble that had AFMUs in stock. I set a course and made it safely to the station. After purchasing and fitting the module, I took off with the hopes of reaching Colonia this time. At 5,000 light years out, I made my final blunder of this trip. Pulling into orbit around an M-class star to refuel, I zeroed my throttle, as all good boys do, and left the cockpit to use the ship's facilities while the ship refueled at what I thought was a safe distance from the star. Unfortunately, it was not, as the ship began to heat up. I heard the ship's alarm begin to sound. I attempted to exit the ship's bathroom, only to discover that the door was malfunctioning due to heat damage and could not get out. As my ship slowly cooked itself, the door finally opened and I returned to the cockpit and saw, to my horror, the damage had been done, with my power plant reaching critical. In my Venus flytrap wilting, I looked out at the fiery ball that had sealed my fate and saluted it, exclaiming, "For the mug," as my ship blew up. In my escape pod, I had plenty of time to think as the rescue services flew me back to the bubble. I've decided for now that it's probably best to use the new fleet carrier service to get out to Colonia, so I'll be hitching a ride with the admin team on the FTM Cloud Atlas. See you out there soon, trackers. For the mug.
With all the talk of the mass expenditure on new toys, and with most people not having a clue what they want to do with it, Hutton pilots have been consoling each other at being billions of credits poorer by getting as high as they possibly can. No, we're not talking about indulging in an unhealthy onion head habit. We're talking about that other addictive fix the galaxy has to offer, exploration. Admiral Snuggles McKeague loaded LCU on board the FTM Ruby and headed up at speed. He hit the top but had to stop, and that's what's bothering him. So he slunk sideways a bit and tried to head up even harder. Bagging a system on top of the galaxy seemed a good idea at the time, but there are rumours that other commanders belonging to other factions have got even higher than the Ruby did. Commander Hutton Truckers is en route to Colonia to try and join the crew of the Ruby and see whether Hutton can get their name on something notable. We've got a flag, and we're not afraid to stick it in just about anything.
(Clears throat) You know, I'm not used to this. Normally, Lou leaves me a little notes like, stay off the naughty step and help over in tear. But this is just silly. I've seen smaller draft copies of the collected works of Senator Wagar, Volume 1, than this. Alvin's most unhappy as it looks like his diet is over and he's expanding at a rate that's going to leave his belly rubbing on the floor when he walks if he's not careful. With the Galactic update earlier in the week, it looks like someone at the Pilots Federation has been at the Onion Head and sliding all the sliders up to 11. Here at Hutton, we don't like expansion, especially as our spandex isn't that stretchy and elasticated waistbands are so 3305. Alpha Centauri, George's Pants, Wolf 124, PSPF LF-2, LP525-39, and most probably WISE 0855-0714 have all gone into expansion at the moment, and that's not good. We're not sure that there's anything that can be done about it, but if anyone wants to break out the big hose and put the expansion fires out, dropping our influence a little in those systems, the Hot Pit team would be very grateful, as otherwise they'll be advertising for a new custodian or five. To cap it off, we've also ended up with a war for control of LP532-81, and if we don't give that a little bit of attention, we'll be losing that one. We have an incoming message from Custodian DeForce Smith of the boarding crew. Over in LP53281, to keep us especially on our toes, the lovely fellows of 39 Tauri Interstellar have decided to turn the strange universal stellar alignment into an advantage, and whilst most systems are awash with tales of expansion, their secretly mounted forces for a war. When asked for a statement from the custodian's office, the reply was simple. We are a hungry bunch of truckers and thirsty for a swift victory. For the mug. If that wasn't enough, WISE 0855-0714, the former pirate base that Hutton took over in the very early days, has declared a drought. Yes, they've run out of water and have taken to drinking anything that quenches their thirst. How thirsty you have to be to drink the urine recycle, we don't know, but we're probably sure they'll be finding out soon. They've asked us not to take the piss though, but only because that they're parched. We've sent out an appeal to the carrier FTM Alvin's Mercy to run a mission of mercy and bring them a few thousand bottles of sparkling spring water from somewhere nearby before the situation gets out of hand and they start on the coolant fluid from their own ships. The only known person to ever survive that is Cecil, but that's because his blood alcohol level is 120 proof. Over in Colonia, things are going much the same way. Though Sinbad the Bad has been taking advantage of the situation and systematically unpicking all the hard work from the Risketeers, whilst the Pilots Federation is looking the other way. He's bad, isn't he? And that is just about all I can take for one session of these notes. I'm going to go and pay off some of these fines, unless anyone has a few billion credits to loan me.